in light of Star Wars, I came to the dark side. I harnessed my inner anger and evil, especially without snow. I mean, these things that Christmas is surrounded by, these things that Christmas, especially in our culture, you know, trees lit up by lights, whether they're white or multicolored. And as I said, the snow, just this lack of it being cold and no fires in the fireplace. I was just like, and my wife can attest to this, I was just this dingy old Grinch that wasn't in the Christmas spirit. And if you know my wife at all, Sarah, she's this perky, she's this lovely, bubbly, like always in the Christmas spirit. She Christmas music all year round. She would love that. As my aunt gives her a high five, that is just her character. But as Charlie Brown, there's this tension on what Christmas really is. Is it the lights on a tree? Is it the snow on the ground? Is it the fire in the fireplace? Or is it presents around the tree? I know our culture, you know, with our culture, there's always this tension of commercialism, of my love is shown through the gifts that I give, which is correct, but our culture's the exact opposite. We just give gifts because it's an understanding of what this season is. But Linus, whom is the unexpected one, as we just saw in that clip, he's the unexpected one to let down his blanket and tell us the true meaning of Christmas. And so that's what's been our series for now. This will be the ending of the third Sunday. But if you haven't been here with us, I invite you, let's rewind to two Sundays ago where Mike brought an awesome message about why and how Jesus is our Savior. And looking at this precious baby in a manger who came as a humble babe is our Savior. He is the only one that can save us from our wretched and destructive selves. When we see this, and is evident in the world, right? That this world that we live in, there is tragedies like people getting cancer. There's tragedies of babies being stillborn. And some people in this crowd this morning have had these terrible, unexpected tragedies in their life. We're experiencing this god-awful flooding, this rain that is good and precious and beautiful that is given to us is somehow can be tarnished. And in this broken world that we live in, people have great hurt because of this beautiful rain that God has given to us. But also the next Sunday, we learned that Jesus is also the Christ. Jesus Christ, as Mike made a good funny last week, that it is not his last name, but that Jesus is the Christ. While a precious baby in the manger, we must understand that the cross is in the background. That whenever we see and ponder the beauty of this baby, this little precious baby in a manger, we must also know that the cross is in his mission of his life. But that the story doesn't end there, that the precious and beautiful understanding of our faith in God and in Christ, that if we look and ponder at the cross, then we also must know that there's an empty tomb, that Jesus the Christ is our Savior, and he's the only one whom is able to wipe away our sins and this destructive tarnish on our life. So as we come to this week, and as you will see here in a second on the screen, that today we will learn and find out through Scripture of our text in Luke 2, 8 through 11, that Jesus is also Lord. That he is not only Lord of our lives, but he is Lord of the universe. So if you would, whether that's the Bible at the end of your rows, and please, if you do not have one, that is Genesis' gift from to you. But it's on page 732 in those Bibles at the end of your rows. But also feel free to whip out your smartphone if you have a Bible app, or if you have a Bible of your own, please turn to Luke 2, and we will read verses 8 through 11. And the scripture says, "And in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Let's pray as we begin our worship through the reading and hearing of the Word. Lord Jesus, thank you for you being Lord of this universe. There is none like you. That as we have just heard and will hear with your Spirit's power, our ability to recognize you as Lord is solely through the Spirit's revealing power. Lord, I pray that it is powerful this morning as we dive into your Word, and I pray that the hearts of the audience and myself, as I've been digging through this passage, that they are open to your beauty, majesty, and lordship over the universe and our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in reading it and trying to connect and relate this to our life, I'm sure we're sort of in a different generation, my wife and I. And in talking about this sermon with her, she gave me the great idea of illustrating a person named Scott Disick. I'm sure that, like I said, many of you possibly and most likely do not know this man on the screen. Is that correct? Yeah, no, maybe so. Well, he is from the reality show called Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And it being labeled the reality show isn't very realistic, in my opinion. But this is my wife's kind of evil pleasure, because she doesn't, gratefully, have a lot of drama in her life. She has to watch it. So praise God for that. Anyway, he did something very, very unique. He went to England and went through this whole big ceremony and signed his name on the dotted line to become a lord. So, I mean, that just shows his mindset, his character about his life, and how big he is, what a big deal he is in our world. But obviously this is a bad sample size, because none of you have ever heard of him. So, but anyway, we tried to find a picture of this flag. That didn't really work out, but he has made this flag and has even made slippers, I saw this week, with his title, Lord Disick. It's crazy. I mean, and this is just an example of how he just waves his flag of himself instead of understanding who the true Lord of this universe is. Now, this might be an extreme example for all of us today, but this really shows and is a true example of our hearts, where maybe in our lives, in our everyday context, in our families, we come home from work after a busy day and just sit on the couch and not take care of our children and not serve our wives well. or not serve our husbands well and not serve our children well. In those examples, we are waving our own flag of selfishness. I mean, and this is not me up here talking to you with someone that has mastered this trait. My wife will again be the first one to say that he does not do this every day. I truly come home from work and some days sit on the couch and want to watch SportsCenter for 5 hours. When in reality, it's 5 hours of the same thing because they repeat themselves every hour. That's not very useful and practical of how I must be as a father and how I must be as a husband to serve because I am the leader of the household. So we as I've said before, this series, we're learning about how the angels, two lowly shepherds, have proclaimed the titles of Jesus. First, again, that he's the Savior. Secondly, that he is the Christ. And this morning, we will go through the proclamation of these angels to these lonely shepherds that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of the universe. But we'll kind of, again, skip forward into Jesus' story where we can see there's four examples that I want to highlight this morning of how Jesus is Lord of the universe. But it happens, just as Kirk said this morning during our worship, that happens way before our text this morning. And I'll skip forward into kind of how we see it in his physical life. So and it'll be on our screens here, but I also invite you to turn to it. It's Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45, where this awesome book that we read from and have been revealed, called the Bible, explains how not only that Jesus is Lord in the Old Testament, but that he, again, just want to pound this into my heart and hopefully it is conveyed to you that even in his birth, even while he was in Mary's womb, we can see that Jesus is Lord. So again, as it's on our screens, I'll read it. Please follow along. In those days, Mary arose and with haste unto the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of the Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, a baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." So through this text, just a chapter previously from our main text, we see that even in Mary's womb, Jesus brought joy to others. He was recognized of his Lord. His lordship was recognized truthfully in his wholeness. This is beyond even my brain, even in my study, that these two babies that haven't cried yet, that haven't drawn their first breath, they recognized each other's, and really God's implantation of his glory in his son, Jesus. That there's this beautiful picture for us to see as in our present day, that we cannot see Jesus. We cannot necessarily we can't touch him in his, and we can't physically see these miracles that we see throughout the Gospels. But that there's still this beauty as we see in nature. As I said before, there's this beauty of rain that nourishes the earth, that gives us water to function. There's beauty in this creation of these two babies dealing with Jesus' glory and God's beautiful, just his glorious beauty in the Son Jesus. So we flow into the season that we just kind of came out of and that we're still celebrating today, Jesus' birth in the manger. We also see that not only that we see Jesus is Lord of the universe in his womb, but we see it in the manger as well. And so we'll go to Matthew kind of to illustrate this. Matthew 2. Again, this will be on our screens, so you don't have to turn there. But it says in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw that the child was with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So in this season, as really Mike laid the foundation last 2 weeks, we understand that Jesus, specifically, and this is just one illustration of his lordship, these an innumerable amounts of wise men saw this star in the east and were revealed that this glorious, beautiful, just all-consuming power was born in a humble baby in a manger, where he should have been born in a palace instead of a place where animals ate. He should have been laid upon a gold table instead of in a trough with hay and possibly, you know, animals doing their business around them, whether that's eating or drawing this nasty, lowly, not at all what this baby either represented or was to become, which was our Savior, our Christ, and our Lord. So going further, Jesus is Lord of the universe and in the universe by these examples, the womb, the manger, and following present day. Again, this is a little harder to see, but we must recognize that this creation that we live in, this theater, is made out of products that had to be first created. I mean, this is sort of a different sermon. We won't go there and to lay the foundation of how or why we know that, but we must see. We must understand that he is Lord of the universe today, even amongst this destruction, amongst, as I said, people have cancer and they ask so many questions of you know, the biggest one, the elephant in the room is why? Why does this evil happen, or why is evil present if there is this good, omniscient, all-powerful, and glorious and good God? Why is there evil in the world? But I want to draw your attention to Romans 10 and 9 through 10, which will not be on your screens. But it says, I want to read it for you, and you can follow along. Thank you for letting me hear those pages being turned. I'll start in verse 8. But what does God say? The word is near, in your mouth and in your heart. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We can understand. Thank y'all for being fast. That's awesome. We see through the revealed scripture that this is the mandate for people to be saved. That in this present day, now, right now, through many facets that is in his hands, in his awesome, all-powerful hands, that through nature we see God in his beauty and his gloriousness, but also his lordship. That we know through other scripture that the rocks cry out and give glory to God. That there's this knowledge of nature that is wrecked with our ability of choice, that we must draw near to the understanding that God, that Jesus is Lord of the universe and Jesus is Lord of my life, in order to be in the right standing, in order to glorify him in the correct way. We must know that today, even amongst this terrible destruction and the terrible evils that are in this world, that Jesus in the manger was proclaimed Lord of the universe. But not only is he Lord in the present day, and he is Lord of the Lord, we saw that he was Lord in the womb. We also see that he was Lord in the manger and Lord in the present day. We also must acknowledge that he is Lord of the future, that he, in his majesty and his greatness, is in control of the events beyond our recollection, beyond our knowledge, and beyond our ability to change. Specifically, I kind of want to end tonight, this morning, with his lordship over the end times. I mean, all of us have a reality that death will come. And this death is, like I said, beyond our control, beyond the control of this tree lit up in an immaculate way. It's beyond the ability of our doings of setting around awesome presents and decorating our houses full of whether that's nativity scenes or trees decorated with garland. It's beyond our good deeds and what we might do, whether that's giving to the homeless. But these all should be events that spring up, that come up, that have been propelled by knowing that Jesus is Lord of the universe. That this great thing called Christianity must be centered on Christ and him crucified and giving glory, necessary glory to God and necessary glory to Jesus. That he is, although this is very, very cliche, he is the reason for the season. He is the reason for every single season. He is the reason for my ability to stand on the stage and preach to you. He is the reason for you being able to sit on your butt right now. He's the reason for you and I breathing right now. And so today is the day that if you have not given lordship to Christ, it is right now the choice must be had. You must, because he is, through my incapabilities, through my weakness, I hope that this has been clear to you. That the Spirit somehow has used my weakness of words and weakness of communicating to communicate to you today that God, that Jesus is Lord of the universe, and therefore you must recognize that he is Lord of you. That he is Lord of your life, that he, once you give him, once you confess Romans 10, what we just read, Romans 10, once you confess that Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, then and only then you will be saved. Not through a prayer that I may have prayed when I was 10, or not any good works that you have done since then, but it's through your confession that Jesus is Lord that you are saved. And by God's grace, he has revealed it to you. By God's grace, this baby in a manger, gratefully through this season that we draw our eyes from our busyness of life in corporate America, or whether it's you have your own business, gratefully God has shown us grace in a time of season that we can draw our eyes back to a manger with a little humble baby to remind us of Jesus' salvation for our lives, because he was proclaimed by glorious angels that he is Savior of the world. But not only is he Savior, he is also the Christ, that this baby had a life's mission of the cross. And also, Jesus, in that manger, he was Lord of the universe. So today, as I've kind of walked through this, for you and I, this means that we must recognize, not only today, but in the days to come, that Jesus is Lord. I know I've been redundant this morning, but this is profound for our lives. This will change our perspective. This will change our worldview. This will change the way that we love. This will change the way we parent. This will change the way that I love my wife. This will change how I react to current events. So I pray, as we finish up and as the band starts to make their way back up, I pray that not only through the scripture that we kind of dove in today, but that the Spirit will grab all hold on your heart and demand your service. John Piper wrote a book. It's called Slave. John MacArthur wrote a book called Slave. And he rightly writes this book because there's this, especially in the American culture, there's this natural tension of that word. But the Bible says, other people have taught upon the difference between slave and bond servant. And he rightly pens in this book that we must be more like slaves to Christ, because there is no getting out. There is no choice. There should be no choice. There is a choice. There should be no choice in our following of Christ. That it should be a natural thing as a born-again believer, if we have done Romans 10, 9 through 10, that we've confessed with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, there should be this sprint. There should be, as we read before, she Mary got up and ran. This life is a marathon, but through the power of the Spirit, that we are sprinting towards him in everything that we do. And I pray that is the case as the band continues to lead us in worship and knowing and giving God glory because he is Lord of this universe.